and all my friends are dead or gone.
Surely a beautiful song. Do you recognize his voice? That's Steve Katz from Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Kettle of Fish, as recorded live in our studios back on May 21st, 2016. And I think Steve's voice is most noticeable in Blood, Sweat, and Tears discography. When he sings the song called Sometimes in Winter, which he also did in our studios. Ty at Squirrel Hill, Saturday Light Brigade charge to you. He came up with an expression that showed up on a lot of T-shirts in the 70s and still does today, which is, woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Remember those? I do so well.
I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How you know?
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hoe out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing by a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really la.
I'm wishing I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club.
On my door I'd hang a sign, gone fishing, instead of just a wishing.
Papa Bing, I've stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well, I'm a busy man, Louie. I got a lot of big deals cooking. I was probably tied up at the studio.
You aren't tied up, you dog. You're just plain old gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing me.
Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boys, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Bapa baby bubble bapa mbole.
Oh yeah.
Louis Armstrong and Bing Crosby, gone fishing. As requested. Well, I see a lot of people beyond the glass who are soon going to be here with me. I hope you can stick around for our next hour. We have five students from the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards program, all honored under that program. You'll get a chance to meet them and perhaps hear some of their poetry and prose. Alan in Squirrel Hill writes, every expression I could think of, somebody else already sent in. Oh, well, there are plenty of other fish in the sea. Thanks, Alan, for playing along. And thanks to you for playing along. More fun to come, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM, Fort Collins, Colorado, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
In a bar in Toledo, across from the depot, on a bar stool she took off her ring. I thought I'd get closer, so I walked on over. I sat down and asked her name. When the drinks finally hit her, she said, I'm no quitter, but I finally quit living on dreams. I'm hungry for laughter and here ever after. I'm after whatever the other life brings. In a mirror I saw him and I closely watched him. I thought how he looked out of place. He came to the woman and sat down beside me. He had a strange look on his face. His big hands were calloused, he looked like a mountain. For a minute I thought I was dead. Then he started shaking, his big heart was breaking. He turned to the woman and said, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, with four hungry children and a crop in the field. I've had some bad times, lived through some sad times. This time you're hurting won't heal. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. I ordered more whiskey, I thought how she made him look small. From the lights of the bar room to a rented hotel room, we walked without talking at all. She was a beauty, but when she came to me, she must have thought that I'd lost my mind. But I couldn't hold her, the word that he told her kept coming back time after time. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, with four hungry children and a crop in the field. I've had some bad times, lived through some sad times. This time you're hurting won't heal. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, with four hungry children and a crop in the field. I've had some bad times, lived through some sad.
There, you've got a fun take on the song Lucille from Jay Armsworthy and Eastern Tradition. That's brand new into our library. It just came in this week. Coming up in just a few moments, we have some writers from the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards joining us. Thank you. Over the past few weeks, and really over the past many years, we have been honoring teens that have placed in the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards. The Ralph Munn Awards have been given for many years to honor those who have created fiction and prose and nonfiction. And today we have a number, actually five, students who have created works that were honored under this Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh program. And we're going to devote the next segment to them. You'll get a chance to meet each of them, hear some of their writing, and learn a little bit more about them. And we're going to start. I'm going to ask you each to please introduce yourself. And please indicate your school, grade level. And if you have a shout-out you'd like to give, a hello or thank you, please feel free to do so. And we'll just go right around and get started with Connor.
Hi, my name is Connor Dalgard, and I'm a senior at West Allegheny High School. And I'll go ahead and shout out my two friends, Taylor and Gia, who are listening right now.
Hi, I'm Aneri Shetty. I'm a 10th grader at North Allegheny Intermediate High School. I'd like to give a shout out to all of my friends and family who are watching this right now.
Hi, I'm Sonica Chalk. I'm a 12th grader at North Allegheny Senior High School, and I'd like to give a shout out to my family and my dad who's watching right now.
Hi, I'm Monserretti, and I'm from Upper St. Clair High School, and I'd like to give a shout out to my dad and my grandma and also to Monsignor Tree.
Hi, I'm Shauna Reddy. I am a senior at Upper St. Clair High School, and I'd like to give a shout out to my sister, Mahima, for always inspiring me to write.
It's nice to have all of you here today, and we have a lot of, a number of parents that are watching in the next studio, too. I'm curious, before you share some writing, if you can talk a little bit about how you cultivated an interest in writing and what motivates you to write. And this is sort of an open-ended question. If anybody wants to jump in, please feel free and talk about it.
I can start. This is Sonica. So ever since I was in elementary school, I've always been like a really avid reader. So when I entered middle school, I kind of started exploring writing, and I was more on the creative writing side. Like, I participated in this National Novel Writing Month. Just recently, I picked up an interest in poetry. So my entry for the Ralph Munn is actually one of the first poems I've written. So that's new for me.
That's cool. I didn't know there was a National Novel Writing Month. What do you remember the month it is, and how does that work?
Yeah, it's in November, and basically it's just you write every single day of the month until you have a novel at the end. So the goal is to get like a 30,000 word to 50,000 word novel by the end of the month.
Wow, that's amazing. Anybody else have any thoughts about writing and its importance?
Hi, so this is Aneri. I have a very similar story. So last year, I attended school online, and one of my teachers started this poetry month. And so every day of the month, we would write a poem, and the one that I entered into this contest was actually one of the ones I wrote over the course of the month. And then my English teacher, he told me that I should probably enter this into the contest, and I'm very happy that I listened to him.
That's wonderful. What's his name?
Mr. Mooney. He was my English teacher.
And that's at North Allegheny
Intermediate High School.
Yep. North Allegheny has a 10th and 11th grade building and then 11th and 12th because y'all are so big. I remember the first time I went to North Allegheny, I got a little confused as to which building I was to go to. Any other thoughts about how it came to be that you discovered and enjoyed writing?
So I actually draw more than I write, but there's things that you can't convey through art that you can convey through writing.
Interesting. And that's Sonica mentioning that. It's true. And you could actually do both together and combine them. Any other thoughts about writing and what motivated you to get going?
Yeah, so I'm Shauna, and I have a similar story to Ineri and Sonica. So I've always loved to read since I was little. And in middle school, one of my teachers actually made us write poems for this little program that we did in school. And so at the end of that program, we would all like submit our poems to this one competition to get published. And so that was the first time I was actually published. And I remember flipping through that book and thinking, hey, this is really cool. My poem is actually in a print book. And it was a really cool experience to see that. And so here I am now submitting more poems to competitions. But yeah.
That's great to know that other folks are going to see your words and read them and that they'll last forever. Well, I'd like to ask each of you to share some of what you've written. Is it okay with you if we sort of go in the same order? That means we'll start with Connor, and I want your words to stand alone, so we'll fade away this background music. And if necessary, please tell us the title or any background, especially if you're reading an excerpt from something in the event we need to know about it. Connor, what writing do you have to share?
Yes, so I have poetry to share with you all. This is the first poem that I've ever, written for a purpose. And it actually closes out the anthology. So for any listeners who are able to pick up a copy, my poem is the last one in the anthology. So it is titled Fall of the Oak Tree. The men in their green suits come to the oak tree, wielding their axes, chop. The oak tree fell, its leaves withered, branches left bare. The yellow sun set early, giving way to the black night. The men snickered, staring down their prize, laying under the fog atop the forest floor, illuminated by Celine's moon, lifeless.
That's that's beautiful. Were you inspired by actually seeing a larch tree taken down?
I wouldn't say literally a tree. When I wrote this, I wanted people to be able to bring their own background knowledge and, take away whatever they feel they need to take away from it. But I think it can definitely be said, the environment is such a huge topic right now. So seeing things like deforestation can really inspire people to write.
Yeah, that's I think you captured it well. And I like kind of the staccato language that you use, the very I hate to say it's choppy. I don't mean it that way, but just the words kind of fit the action that you're describing in a great way. Thanks, Connor. Next, we have Ineri. I rehearsed it and everything. It's because I can't read my own writing. It's Ineri, right?
Yep, I'm Ineri.
Sorry about that. And
that's okay.
What do you have to share?
So I have a poem titled You Can. And so in my opinion, this poem has a lot of different meanings, at least to me. I wrote this when I was online last year. And I was in a place where everything was just really frustrating, and there was a lot going on all the time. And so I feel like different people can interpret this in different ways. So you can. The words taken so lightly. Anyone can do anything. You can be whatever you want. And those two words say so. They lift up the walls around you, unlocked by affirmations, not caged, but free to do anything. But a can is never a will, because you built your own walls that won't lift up. Walls forced and locked in place by nails of self-doubt, latches of others' opinions, bolted by words of disapproval. So the cage remains. Until time runs out, the nails rusted and worn, latches torn and run down, when you realize you could have all along. The nails, latches, bolts were never that strong to begin with. But now time presses on that cage. So you resort to doing only what you can.
Beautiful. That I like that you're directing this at the reader in a way that I wouldn't say challenging, but you're really engaging the reader to consider all of these things. Did you play around with doing it from that perspective, or was that something just obvious to you to structure it as almost like a directive or a coach would say to somebody?
Yeah, so I did think about it with that perspective. And I'll be honest, I didn't put all that much thought at the very beginning. I just sat down and I told myself I wanted to write something. And so once I finished, I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually not that bad. And I sort of structured it so that someone reading it could sort of feel the effects of the poem in their own lives. So hopefully it gave that sort of idea to the reader.
It definitely comes through. Now we have Sonica, who is going to share something with us. And what have you brought?
I wrote a poem.
Oh, hang on. I'm still learning how to use all this brand new equipment in front of me. I gave you a chance to rehearse your line. Now we're all going to hear it.
That's okay. I'm Sonica, and I wrote a poem called Gemstones, and this poem was inspired by, so I'm part of a program in Pittsburgh called GirlGov, where they basically inform you about political issues and, like, social women's issues. So we were talking about the rise in domestic violence during the pandemic, so I wrote my poem to kind of raise awareness for this issue. So I'll start reading it now. Don't be scared. He used to laugh as she ran for miles with a smile of diamonds and a heart full of gold. Don't be scared, eyes shining like brilliant emeralds weighed down by pockets of blushed quartz. Don't be scared, but she had to remember that gemstones were heavy and that her pockets were made to break. Don't be scared, her knees began to buckle under the weight of thousands of stones as he only watched and smiled. Don't be scared, once glittering gemstones lay jagged and violent upon the floor, as aquamarines pulled in her eyes. Don't be scared. She scrambles to pick up the scathing rocks, but each time she does, he hurls them down and they shatter. Don't be scared. Rough palms caress tear-stained cheeks as her lips become unpolished sapphire. Don't be scared. Cold brown eyes, seething and selfish, scan her complexion, dotted with rubies. Don't be scared. Blossoms of lavender and amethyst upon her milky moonstone canvas. Don't be scared. Soft laughter reverberating in the silent night, only whispers of bitter sweetness stirred for miles. Don't be scared. After all, I thought you liked gemstones.
Hmm. That was pretty incredible and a hard subject to handle, as you did too. I'm glad you explained what the inspiration was or what the genesis of it was. Have you shared that with many people at GirlGov or others?
Not yet. I decided to put it in the Ralph Munn Creative Anthology because I thought that if it would be published in a book, like, that awareness would be spread widespread. But I do hope to share the program, like, the poem with the program that inspired me to write it.
I think that's great. I think there are a lot of social service agencies that would probably love to be made aware of the fact that that exists too, so that they could point some of the people they help to it. That's beautifully done. Now we're going to go to Manza, and what do you have to share?
I have prose and poetry, but I'm just going to talk about the prose. So my inspiration was just like general sexism I faced. So I wrote a story kind of comparing my experience to an Indian girl back in India, maybe in the 1950s. And I had my dad proofread it, and he asked me if I was writing about my grandma, and I said no. But apparently this story really closely mirrors hers, so I'm going to read an excerpt. Just a year ago, when I was 13, I was still a child by society's account, too naive to think for myself. Now I was a woman fit to be married off, even though I had barely grown yet. A woman fit to be sent away from her family in favor of a man. A woman fit to bear children. And basically this story is about child marriage, which is still a really rampant issue over there. And my grandma was unfortunately married when she was 13. And so this is kind of an ode to all the women who've gone through that sort of thing.
Wow. And have you talked with your grandma much, or do you know her very well?
Yeah, I actually had no idea that this story mirrored hers so closely.
Did you have a chance to talk with her about her early life?
Yeah. She was really, really smart, but unfortunately her marriage was prioritized and she never really got to finish her education.
Wow, that must have, when you wrote that and your dad was reading it, he must have been, for lack of a better word, blown away that you sort of channeled his own mother's experience without knowing so, which shows how true and also how common it is. It's really a gift when you can write something that touches other people that way. Now we've got Shauna, who is going to share something with us. What do you have, Shauna?
So I have a poem, and so it's called Angel Fallen. And so the inspiration behind this is that growing up, I really liked to read about mythology, and I think religious mythology was like super cool because I'm not really a religious person, but it's like really cool to like read about all of these different cultures. And so this is kind of a product of that. So I'll start. What was it like being an angel? I ask aloud. Another question lingers in the sticky Florida air that I dare not ask. Why did you fall? You don't answer. Instead, you turn that battered starbright circlet over and over in your hands. It's been a week since you fell. You asked how I found you. I said I saw you fall. I didn't say that I saw a white streak burning with heavenly fire fall from the stars like dice from an old man's hand, landing with the full force of an atomic bomb in the woods behind my house. You were laying down in a crater, as if playing dead man's float without a pool, with burns on your back and two ink-black horns growing from your cranium, and that golden rusted halo, bent and misshapen, a few steps from your head. It feels like hours, with the mosquitoes buzzing a safe distance away. They don't dare try to bite you. Who knows what Iger will do to them? And finally, you answer, in a voice that carries a millennium of suffering and a language that's long since died out. The heavens are not a place for mortal eyes or mortal thoughts. The apples of discord have been sown throughout the heavens, and I was the first to take a bite.
Wow. I love the way that you shared that.
Thank you.
It's very passionate, and it doesn't sound like you're reading, not that you others did sound like you were reading, but there's just something very, very natural about your sharing that, almost as if it were lines from a play or a musical. Does that resonate with you at all? Do you feel that the way that's written almost is meant to be a monologue or a statement like that?
Yeah, I kind of wrote it in a way that it was supposed to be like a story, but like short, so like in a poem form. That's kind of what I try to do with all of my writing. So,
well, it sounded great, Shauna. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'd be curious to just talk with each of you again some more. If you're just joining us, these are winners from the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards honorees for the work that they submitted. And I'm curious, you're all getting close to the time when you might be thinking about what you want to do post high school. Before we talk about that, though, well, let's talk about that first. Have you, anybody can just jump in, thought about what post-high school life might be like? I won't hold you to any of it. But.
So I plan on going to college and getting a marine biology degree, which is really kind of a contrast to what I do as a hobby. But
well, you're going to have to do a lot of writing. So if you're a good writer, you are a good writer, that's a good thing.
I'm thinking of doing business because I've always wanted to keep art on the side because I don't want to be forced to kind of write anything that I don't really feel like writing.
I understand that. You want to be sure something that gives you pleasure doesn't take on the pressure of work or having to kind of rob you of something like that. I get that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd definitely be interested in exploring business and technology, but that has changed a lot. So yeah, definitely don't hold me to that. But as of right now, I think I'm pretty set on business and technology.
And can you tell me, when you say technology, what you're thinking of in that regard?
Yeah, I'm either debating between like computer science or either biomedical or industrial engineering.
Interesting. Well, it's nice to hear that. And we're just going to go right in a row. How about you?
Hi, so this is Aniri. I'm still a 10th grader, so I do have some time to explore some of my passions. But as of now, I'm really interested in the sciences, especially the health sciences. So that might be a certain future for me. I do intend on going to college after high school.
Any area in the health sciences in particular?
The medical field definitely interests me, so I'd like to explore different careers in the medical field, be that like different different types of surgeons or doctors. Even the field of epidemiology is interesting, genetics, so I'm really just looking to explore.
Connor, how about you?
So currently I do a lot of work with mental health advocacy. It's a huge passion of mine. So as I look forward now to college, I'm looking to attain a psychology degree.
That's excellent. I was just reading about an organization that is doing some activities about mental health awareness. It's escaping me, but you may already know about. I mean, there's a lot out there, but there was a new event that was taking place that really piqued my interest, and it's just not coming to the top of my mind right now. Two more questions. One, is there anything any of you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to say? I just want to be sure that you have that opportunity. If there's somebody you wanted to thank that you didn't thank, or just something in retrospect that pops into your head.
I would just encourage everyone to get involved with your libraries. That's how I got involved with the contest. I learned about it from a staff member at the Western Allegheny Community Library where I volunteer.
So I'd like to give a quick thank you to my teacher last year, who was Mrs. Lombardi. She was the one who started the poetry, writing one poem a month. And she also told me about this contest. And so I think there were definitely two teachers that inspired me. And for all of you that are listening, I'd just like to say that please, if you have a passion, then pursue it, because it can be really fun and you can get a lot out of it. So, yep.
Funny enough, I participated in the same poetry contest as Aniri, so I'd also like to thank Mrs. Lombardi, and I'd like to thank my 10th grade English teacher, Mrs. Talhook, because she inspired us to write a lot of narrative pieces, and that got me really into like narrative writing back again in high school. And as a message for the like the listeners, I think just try writing. Like, even if you don't think you're good at it, it's a lot of fun. So the more you do it, the better you get. And I think it's a lot of fun, so you'll enjoy it.
I'd like to thank my mom and dad for always supporting my passions. And I'd also like to thank my 11th grade English teacher, Mr. Sabrum, for always making me laugh.
That's important.
Yeah, I'd like to also shout out Mr. Sabrum. I have him in 12th grade, and he's such a great person to be around. And we're having a poetry unit right now, and so that's also been inspiring me a lot to keep writing, especially with poetry. But I'd also like to shout out my friends and my family who support me still.
Wonderful. I'm going to ask you one more thing, I'll give you a minute to think about it, too. This one's a little harder, but if you had a magic wand and could change one thing in the world, what you would change? And I'll give you a minute. It's hard to limit to one. I'll let you think about that while I just make a quick mention that you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including TuneIn, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and slbradio.org/radio. Anybody have any ideas?
I would use my magic wand and make everyone's misconceptions about mental health vanish.
Any others?
I'd like to use my magical wand for curricular reform. So more inclusive curriculums about different ethnicities, about the Native Americans, about like LGBTQ history, to raise more awareness and to decrease the stigmatization against those groups.
I'd like to use my magic wand to increase the awareness of different health issues, and especially in developing countries where this stuff isn't as prevalent as it is in developed countries like the United States. So that's what I would use my magic wand for.
I think I'd use my magic wand to make people do jobs for passion, not profit.
Yeah, so I think I'd use my magic wand to probably increase the amount of fresh water there is in the world, because that's water crises are like a really big thing that's happening in like impoverished places, and I feel like that's really important for them to be able to have access to that.
I'm really glad I asked that question. You all had inspiring answers. Shauna and Mansa and Aneri, Connor and Sonika, thank you so much for being with us today. And I hope we'll see you again in the future, whether it be on stage reading your work or as you graduate. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pretend you're happy when you're blue. Melody, you'll be pretending just like me. The world is mine, it can be yours, my friend. So why don't you pretend? And if you sing this melody, you'll be pretending just like me. The world is mine, it can be yours, my friend. So why don't you pretend?
That is Jacob Underwood here at the Saturday Light Brigade and the song Pretend. I think Johnny Mathis had the biggest hit with that, although it's been recorded by a number of folks. We have a live adult fiddle player coming up just after 11 o'clock that I think you'll enjoy. Lindsay Marrow is here. She is from Marion Center, Pennsylvania, Indiana County, and she will be performing. We'll talk a little bit about her rural life as well as her work in performing and in teaching. And in just a few moments, you're going to get to meet some young musicians from Three Rivers Young People's Orchestras. They'll be here to chat about the instrument they play and what it's like to play in an orchestra and to make strides in mastering an instrument.
Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Museum Lab are proud to support the Saturday Light Brigade. Time tickets are available at pittsburghkids.org. The museum is open Wednesday to Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Museum Lab is open on Saturday and Sunday from noon until 5 p.m. Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Museum Lab are filled with opportunities to experience kindness, joy, creativity, and curiosity. Capacity is limited, social distancing and masks are required. More information about health, wellness, and tickets is available at pittsburghkids.org.
Last week's on-air segments are now available online at neighborhoodvoices.org. You can hear Matthias Svelina and Gail Aronson of Wright Pittsburgh, Mark Masterson of City Theater Company, Montez Freeland and Michael Mekeda III from the new Hazlett Theater, Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Award honorees in invention, 3D art, and fashion. Additional musicians from Three Rivers Young People's Orchestras, Trio Nova, and literally thousands of other on-demand features, all at neighborhoodvoices.org. They're fun to listen back to, but they're also fun to enjoy live. And we're about to create such a feature right before your very ears. Now, I've got three members of the Pittsburgh Youth, or There I go again. The Three Rivers Young People's Orchestras. I got to get Lindsay here with me. I keep doing that. I want to say Pittsburgh Youth Symphony Orchestra.
You know, there's so many awesome youth orchestras here for young musicians. So it's an amazing place to be.
And there's a lot of cross-pollination between the two organizations, too. Before we meet the kids, see, I made the first mistake, too. Before we meet them, you've got a special event happening later today. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm super excited. We love being here at the Children's Museum. And this is the third week of a mini residency by Symphonette, our string orchestra, here at the Children's Museum. And after so long of not performing, today at 3 o'clock, we didn't waste any time. At 3 o'clock, they're going to perform for their friends and family and for museum attendees right here at the museum. So we've never done a concert that fast with you guys before. So this is super special. And I can't wait. You guys already sound amazing. Did you hear your rehearsal this morning? Were you there? You were there because you were playing in it. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm going to emcee the concert. We're going to meet some of the students who play as part of the concert. And we'll rebroadcast it on a future week, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but you can also come if you want to hear it. It's at 3 o'clock this afternoon, October 9th, and you can attend for free because it's in a public space within the museum. I think it's going to be right inside of the lobby of our main building.
It'll either be in the cafeteria or if the weather holds up, we'll see. And if we find electricity, we'll see. We're going to talk about that a little later. I think it might be right outside. We'll see.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Well, let's meet. We have three students, and I didn't even have a chance to say hello to them ahead of time. Why don't we go around this way, and I'll ask you if you could please just introduce yourself and maybe tell us your school and age, and if you have any shout outs or acknowledgments, this would be a great time. And why don't we start here?
Hi, I'm Anya. I'm 13 and I go to Fort Couch Middle School.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Abril. I'm 15 and I go to Shadyside Academy.
Hi, I'm Alex, and I'm 12 years old, and I go to Ingemar Middle School.
Who can tell me about the instrument that you play and how long you've been playing it? You can just jump right in.
I've played the cello, and I've played it for 5 years.
And how did the cello come to choose you, or did you come to choose the cello?
Well, so at school, we, have the option to play an orchestra, and I wanted to play an instrument, but since I didn't really know anything about, all of them, I just picked the one that I could sit while playing it, so I chose the cello.
That's, it's funny how those things come out sometimes. I ended up playing timpani, the kettle drums, because I played drums, and I was among the few drummers that actually understood the vertical aspect of notes, not just what it was like to understand the value of the notes and the rhythms, but I understood pitch as well. So I ended up playing timpani solely for that reason. Is it hard to learn how to play cello, Anya? How did that go?
I mean, it was okay, but I used to play the piano, so I guess because of that it was a little easier. So.
And did you begin, are you playing a smaller cello or is it a regular size?
It's a full size.
That's exciting to be able to do that. Cello makes such a nice tone. What about you or either of you? Do you want to talk about your instrument?
I play violin. I've played it since I was 7. I started playing it because my grandpa plays the violin, so he kind of inspired me to start playing the violin.
Yeah. How nice. Has he heard you play?
Yeah, he loves hearing me all the time.
I'll
really
bet. Does he still play at all?
Yeah, a little bit, a few times.
That's terrific. What kind of music did he play, classical or symphony?
Classical. So he was a choir teacher when he was younger, so he, I guess, incorporated that into his job and stuff.
Yeah. How nice. That's very nice. How did you learn Did you take lessons in school or private lessons?
I took private lessons in the violin. Yeah.
And did you use, I hear a lot about the Suzuki method. Is that what you did?
Yeah, I started with Suzuki method.
Can you explain what that is? Because I've never really understood it. Yes. I've never tried to either.
So you have like a book, you start with a level and you kind of play through all those pieces in the book. And then when you're good enough at those, you advance to the next book. And I guess it's really nice because if you have friends that are also taking private lessons, you can like kind of talk about which pieces in the book you're playing because they're the same for everyone. So yeah.
So it kind of standardizes what's being done. And then once you've mastered those, did you go on to learning that was more personalized for your needs?
Yeah. I'm not in Suzuki anymore.
Yeah. It seems like that's usually for younger kids or when you're just starting. Yeah. Let's learn a little bit more from Alex. What do you play?
I play the cello. I've been playing since the fourth grade, and I originally played the violin in third grade when I had to choose an instrument. But in our first recital, I had to stand up because there were so many violinists, so I knew that I wanted to sit down and play the cello. And I actually took lessons like before I even started playing in the school, and it was really fun. And I was pretty good at it, so.
That's great. What do you all think is one of the secrets to being able to play with other people, such as you are going to be playing in the Symphonette later today?
I guess you have to be, like, a good listener because you have to, like, listen to all the other players, so.
That's a good point, and that's a transferable skill, the listening to other people, regardless of whether it's in that situation or not. Any other insights into that?
I think practice is probably really important because if you can play it just as well as the others, then you can stay together and, you know, adjust to each other.
That's a very good point. You become comfortable enough with the piece that you can listen and make sure you're calibrated or adjusted the right way. What do you think, Abro?
I think like understanding the strengths and weaknesses of your section, like your violin section or cello section, that's really important because then you can know when to like play out and help the other people in your section. Stuff like that.
That's a really important thing. Everybody has different strengths and weaknesses, even on different pieces. I would imagine some people are stronger than others. So all of those are such relatable, you know, skills. Repetition, or by that I mean practicing and mastering something, listening to other people, and then also recognizing the talents vary. You know, different people have different skills and different strong areas. And bringing those all together. Have any of you thought about what you might like to do? You're all relatively young, but what you might want to do coming out of high school?
Mm.
Whether it be college or some sort of post-secondary thing, is any dream jobs? I won't hold you to it. It's way early.
I'll probably go to college, but I don't really know about what I want to do for my job yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either.
I'll probably go to college as well, but I know I want to continue playing the violin through that.
I would also go to college, but I don't feel like doing cello as a profession. And I actually am kind of interested in film, like the film industry.
Interesting. How did you develop that interest?
I don't know. I just found out that I really like, you know, creating stuff, and I actually picked up like video editing, and once I started I just found out I was pretty good at it. So
that's great. What software do you use?
Premiere Pro.
Excellent. I was gonna ask all of you if you have any passions. We don't want to assume that your instruments are all that you like to focus on for fun. There are other things. You mentioned film. Anything else that you enjoy doing?
Piano. And I like to do photography too. So I also play hockey, and I also ski.
You are a busy guy. How about you two?
Well, I play another instrument. It's a traditional Chinese instrument. It's called the erhu.
I know the erhu.
Yeah.
Does the name Mimi Zhang mean anything to you? She's a Pittsburgher who plays erhu, and she's been here on the air with us many times.
My sister, she also plays a traditional Chinese instrument. She plays the pipa, and her teacher is friends with Mimi. So.
Yeah, I've heard both of those instruments. That's a fun instrument. Is it hard to master?
Well, since I already had like the basics of cello, because I learned cello before erhu, so that also made it like easier to adjust.
It'd be fun to have you play that here sometime. Any other interests you might like to mention?
I've been learning how to knit. So right now I'm trying to make a blanket.
Excellent. That's a great, knitting's really popular now, and it's a nice way to relax. How about you, Abril?
I like to do composing and arranging in my free time because I have a YouTube channel where I sometimes post some of my arrangements or compositions. So I also play the piano, and that's what I usually compose on.
And how do you document what you've composed? Do you actually write the scores out?
Yeah. And so last summer, I wrote a piece about Maine, like the state Maine. And I wrote out the score, and then I played it for one of my piano recitals.
Very nice. Well, it's nice to meet all of you. I have two more questions. First one is, did any of you, and including you, Lindsay, want to say something that you haven't had a chance to say yet?
I want to thank my mom and my friends for supporting me.
Excellent. Either of you two?
Yeah, this was a really fun opportunity. This is the first time I've been on the radio. It was really fun.
I'm glad.
Yeah, this is the first time on our radio, too. And I guess I want to thank my sister because she kind of talked me into doing this. So
I'm glad. What's her name?
Thea.
I'm glad she did. She's the one who plays people. And what about you, Lindsay?
Well, I really, it's really important to mention that, you know, Simpness doesn't have traditional violin sections. We have two teams. Team Rex and Rex Max, after Mike and I, Cat, the Canada Cat, who is our co-conductor. I just think it's very important for everyone to know that Max is Cat, and that's for you, Mr. Cook. And everyone here agrees, correct?
Yes, I'm Team Rex.
No, you're not. Everyone here is Team Max.
And I'm gonna have to explain to George, boy, when I get home, why they don't have section names named after them.
I don't think George Elroy very upset.
I had two questions, the other one you might have heard me ask the students from the library in our last segment.
A good scale to learn in case you like someone.
That's really a interesting thing about it, and I've never heard anybody propose that before. And it makes a lot of sense. I don't know ASL, and there are times I really wish I did. And not just for communicating with people who cannot hear, but there are times I wish I did for situations here all the time. Anybody else have any ideas?
I would make it all year round because I love Christmas and I just love winter.
I was going to say skiing and hockey, right? Interesting. Winter would be my third favorite season. I'm not a big fan of summer. Do you like summer?
Yeah, it's good. I kind of go fall, spring, winter, but I don't dislike winter. I'm not a fan of summer, which is bizarre. I like to see when things are changing a lot.
What about you, Alfred? With my magic wand, I'd probably do something, giving everyone a share, giving everyone a share. I guess it really determines where you go with your life. So since the beginning, getting a good education, not some kids don't have, that would really improve their life. It's really like to thank all of you for being with us today. And Lindsay, the best way to learn more about your programs, I think, would be to go to TRYPO.org.
That's right. In fact, one of our programs right now is the Trier Series, just for you. They're taking place in person, and we're really so trying to make sure that kids have a way to learn together and use that music outside of a rehearsal.
Well, that's terrific to all of you for being with us today. You really add a lot to what it is that we're doing here. Appreciate it. Thank you to Abra, Anya, and Alex.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with us, Mr. Richard Pittsburgh, 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 Mr.
Sure.
Saturday Light Brigade. Members of community, and you're listening and really mind should